Welcome to Innovation Hub. I'm Kara Miller. There was a time when my mom took my sister and me to get snow boots and jackets at the only store near us that sold those things. We picked out the color we wanted, blue or pink or green. We got the right sizes, and then we trundled out of there wearing our puffy coats. It was a simple experience. One store, almost no choices, and there was a price stuck to the label inside. Now it's hard to imagine buying a jacket without checking different websites, looking at both quality and price. But companies may be in the process of turning the tables on us, tracking our behavior to find out who is willing to pay higher prices. Dan Mongan is a lawyer and the co-author of All You Can Pay, How Companies Use Our Data to Empty Our Wallets. Dan, thanks for joining me.
Hey, it's a pleasure. It's a real privilege to be talking to you.
There's been so much talk about how technology can be used to help us get lower prices. I think of like Priceline or eBay. But you argue that technology is also working on getting you to pay higher prices. Explain to me how that works.
Well, I think at the beginning, when the internet was a new thing about 20 years ago, the vision was that information was going to be free, plentiful, available to everybody. And in part, that's come true. There's some amazing services that are available to people that just simply didn't used to exist, that weren't possible in the past. Part of that is things like familiar sites like Kayak or even an e-commerce site like Amazon. But the reality of what you can see is very different from the reality of what companies can see and what's really happening in the consumer marketplace.
You say that sort of mismatch is going to lead to companies, you know, offering you and me different prices for the same product. And I wonder if then we're moving from a system that allows you to make comparisons to one that's fundamentally unfair. I mean, we're both looking at an IKEA table, say, and we believe the truth to be completely different.
The issue for me is not one of, strictly speaking, fairness, although that matters to me personally. I think it matters to millions of other people as well. But it's really a question of a social change that we have not fully appreciated so far. And that is that the information power, if you will, the total amount of information that's available to the sellers is so much, it's profoundly better than what's available to consumers. And that creates a mismatch between what they know about you and what you know about them. If you know just as much about the table as the seller, and you know just as much about the seller knows about you, that doesn't trouble me at all if between the two of you come up with a different price than I do. But if the seller knows almost infinitely more about you, every single place you've been, every other table you've bought, everything you've looked at, how much money's in your bank account, all of these pieces of the puzzle that you can't possibly match versus them, then I think they begin to have an advantage that is really different from anything that's existed in history.
So wait a minute. Why do they know how much money is in your bank account? I mean, that is never something I've posted on Facebook or, you know, told to Amazon.
It's almost a trivial exercise. Here's how it could be done with small data. It would be relatively simple to create a list of essentially all Americans, virtually all, maybe not a perfect list, but a very comprehensive list of the citizens of this country and match it to their address. You can take that database and readily overlay it with a real estate database, which will show the value of the home. The value of someone's home correlates very closely to their means. Mm-hmm. So that would be a very simple way with small data where I can make a pretty good guess about how much money you have. With big data, I have many, many more ways to guess at what you have. I may not know perfectly, but over time, my guesses get better and better.
You talked about this big social change coming, and you wrote a piece in Salon magazine that's kind of scared me. Here's a line from it. A data giant can ascertain the minimum quality and service each customer will accept. Does that mean to you that companies are trying to figure out how junky a table can I sell this lady and she'll still be okay with it, like for the highest possible price that I can? I mean, you would hope that a store would try to give you good service. Are they just trying to see with essentially what they can get away with?
Well, I think there's a yin and the yang. Let's take a table, for example. You might have an intended use for that table that would only require it for a weekend, a party, a single use, something like that. I might want the same table, but I might want to keep it for 10 years and use it every day. We would actually want fundamentally different tables with different qualities to those tables. And if a seller could ascertain that and meet our individual needs and make a bargain with each of us, there's nothing wrong with that. It does trouble me, though, if they know that you are not really thinking very clearly about your needs and you'll be happy to press buy on a table that is only going to last you 2 weeks, and they can essentially give that to you and say, you know, too bad for you, you didn't buy the right table, and buy another one if you want. That probably isn't the best example, because that's not a very sophisticated approach. That would obviously affect your relationship with the retailer. But there's nothing to stop a seller with access to a lot of data to figuring out things that are disadvantageous to you that you might not be aware of for days or years to come, or might not ever know that you didn't get a good deal.
Now, I guess you could argue the other side of this, which is maybe it's good in some ways that the CEO pays more for a product, even if it's the same product, than the janitor who cleans his or her office, because the CEO can afford to pay more. Why should a millionaire be able to buy, you know, the same $35 jeans that the janitor can buy? Maybe the janitor should like get a break because he needs one.
It's an interesting point of view, and one that I think we all would have some sympathy with. Why don't the rich pay more? That is something, though, that obscures a more fundamental value in uniform pricing. It really makes a difference when we all pay a single transparent price for a product or service, in the sense that that price is widely communicated and widely understood by millions of people. They plan their lives around it. Here's an example of a fairly well-functioning market, far from perfect, but fairly well-functioning, and that's gasoline for your car. You probably know more or less, if you're a regular driver, what you should pay. If that starts to be different for CEOs versus the people that clean their office, then nobody's going to know exactly what they should pay, and that's going to be a disadvantage to consumers.
Right. So it doesn't sound, from what you're saying, like we're ever going to be able as consumers to wriggle out of this kind of huge data net and turn the tables at all on these big companies and know about them anywhere close to what they know about us.
I think that last statement is absolutely true and will never change. You'll never know as much as the cloud knows. There's already superhuman intelligence that exists. It's called the internet. It's not what we thought. It's not robots that tell jokes and play chess. That's not it. It's a massive data operating machine that collects and analyzes data on a large scale primarily for the benefit of a small number of giant players with broadly received public benefits as well. I shouldn't leave that out. There's a lot of good coming out of the internet. But it's owned by a relatively small and close-knit group of companies that are very well capitalized, very successful, and very sophisticated. I don't think there's any way that consumers can wriggle out of the net one by one. Collectively, though, we can think in a way that we haven't so far. I'm very pessimistic that government is going to solve the problem. They certainly have been very limited in their even interest in addressing the problem so far. I don't mean to disrespect anybody at the FTC or elsewhere, but I think if you objectively evaluate the success of regulating the collection and use of data, there's been almost no impact and almost no regulation so far. I think it's very difficult for government to do. I think that the people are going to need to lead on this. There are a lot of ways that people can do it. It's basically a collective action problem, very similar to environmentalism. Grassroots is part of it. Lobbying is part of it. Specifically, though, we have some new tools that didn't exist, you know, 150 years ago when people were beginning to realize that there was an environmental problem around the world. And that is, we can use the internet, too. So we put up a website called myuseragreement.com. It's something that my co-author, Anna Bernasek, and I have funded out of our own pockets, so this is not a big money commercial venture. Individuals can go, and in a very simple process, they can accept, if they choose, a contract that establishes terms and conditions for them. It will lay alongside the terms and conditions that we get from Apple and from Facebook. And I believe it will be the first step, the first concrete thing that individuals can do to start to create a better commercial balance.
Let's take the big view here. What is good in your mind, if anything, about the fact that a bunch of companies, probably not a ton of companies, but just an elite few, are really, really up on my habits and, you know, what I like to buy and where I live, the whole bit?
Well, the good thing is they can serve you better than anybody has been able to in history. The offerings that can be made to you can be so accurate and so helpful and so timely. It can really be extraordinary that, you know, you can essentially have a cup of coffee from, I don't know, whether it be Starbucks or wherever your favorite coffee shop is at your elbow, at the moment that you become thirsty for it, even before you realize that you are going to need it. That's how smart the system is capable of getting. So it can be really good. The issue, though, is whether it's used for the benefit of millions of people or whether it's used in a less desirable way, at least from my perspective, where there are some benefits, but there are some disturbing costs that are associated with it as well.
Well, let's talk about those costs. So give me a sense of what scares you the most about the direction we're moving in.
Well, can I tell a story?
Sure.
When I was a kid, I went to school in an urban area. This is in Wilmington, Delaware. I went to a school in the city of Wilmington. And every once in a while, we would get loose for, I don't know, one reason or another. And I remember once going into a shop near the school and waiting in line, and the person ahead of me went up to the counter, and I wasn't paying attention at first. They went up to the counter, they asked for a product, and it became clear to me, you know, sort of suddenly, as a kid doesn't maybe appreciate everything at first, but it became clear to me that this was a blind person. And they asked for a product, and the clerk brought them the product, and then they held out their wallet and said, "Please take the amount of money that's correct for the product." Now, that clerk could have given the person anything, and they could have taken anything. And that's an analogy to what's happening on the internet today. Hmm. When we search for a product, we're going to be shown something. It may or may not be the thing that would be sort of the right thing if we knew, or if we could see everything that the seller could see. And it may or may not be the right price if we knew everything that the seller knew. I'd like to have happen in the future on the internet what happened that day when I was 9 or 10 years old, which is they got exactly the right product and they paid exactly what the price tag was.
Dan Mongan is a lawyer. He's a co-author of All You Can Pay, How Companies Use Our Data to Empty Our Wallets. Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you. That was fun.